This is a newer song by, of course, my favorite artist right now, Zach Williams. And, you know, if you need to be reminded that even though there's times where maybe you aren't seeing Jesus, he's still there. And maybe you need to look inward as to why you're not seeing him. Because you've got to let a lot of other things cloud him out, shove him back. But he's always there. If you've accepted him and asked him to be a part of your life, not a part, but the whole part of your life, then he's there. And so you're probably the one stepping back, not him. So this is a song about being reminded that sometimes in the waiting, in the hurting, in the searching, he's still there. He's just waiting for you to hold out your hand and let him take it, right? So if you need to be reminded of this morning, let's do that.
Try to stand and start to fall.
just have another verse here for this song. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Isn't that a word for our generation right now and the world that we're living in? But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Let's proclaim that this morning. This is a new song. I have it, not newer, but you may not have heard it before. It's been a while since I've done it, and I actually was looking for this song. I couldn't remember the name of it. And then I had another song that was called At the Cross as well. And so it's like, oh, well, I guess we'll just sing those. And then I went back to get something else, and I found this one. I'm like, oh, that's the one I wanted. And so it worked out. God had a plan. It's a beautiful song. If you don't know it, just take it in, the words. But if you do, certainly sing it out and proclaim that the power of the cross is like nothing else that this world knows. That again, I have my foot caught in the cord. Sorry.
Oh Lord, you search me. Holy prayer.
stand for this last song. That's okay with you. If you can't, that's okay too. Because of that cross, his name holds the power to save all those who seek him. Amen. What a beautiful name it is.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God.
Like you guys to play that chorus again. I really feel like there's somebody that needs to come forward this morning. And if that's you, Maybe there's only one. Maybe there's a few. As we're playing this and as Andrew goes into prayer time, if you need to just put your face before God up these altars this morning, you can do it at your seat too. But if you need to come forward and make a step out, do that this morning.
Come to you today with all that truth making the very globe vibrate. That you are the name that stands above all names, that you are the name that when everyone else fled, you came to my rescue. That in you I find healing, in you I find comfort, in you I find peace, in you I find strength, in you I find provision. In you I find love. In you I find forgiveness. In you I find grace. In you I find mercy. You are enough. Lord, this morning as we are confronted with that truth, I pray that we would be found bowing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But there is so much, Lord, at times that we put before you. There's so many times our selfishness rises to the top. There's so many times we think that we know better. There's so many times that we have a plan. Well, Father God, I come against all of those notions today in the name that is above all names. Would you be the one to whom we surrender? Would you be the one to whom we bow? Because you're the only name that has never failed me. You're the only name that has been so good to me. You're the only name who has been so patient for us, so caring to us. Lord, whatever needs to be done in our hearts today, I pray that we would surrender. For it's in you we become strong. It's in you we find the way. It's in you we are saved. Oh, Father God, kill everything that is Andrew today. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I want to make an announcement today because not everybody. Somebody bring me duct tape. Nope, I got it. Ah, I got to stick with medium. Okay, I'm not promising the shirt's not going to come off now. This announcement was kind of cool. The other night, I was called to In the Dark to a sketchy place down on the water, in all seriousness. And as I made my way down there, it was kind of strange. There was a bunch of people that were down on the beach, and I was asked to be there. And lo and behold, as the night went on and it got crazy dark, it was discovered that Kirtland and Victoria are having a baby girl! So that was kind of exciting. And it was funny because the kids and I were talking, and I said, I think it's a boy. And then when I was walking down the stairs, I said, no, it's a girl. I just know it's a girl. And then Kirtland doubled down on a boy. And then we made everybody make a choice because, you know what, we're going to draw a line in the stand. If you're going to be a loser, go over there with Kirtland. If you're going to say it's a girl, come over here with me. And then, boom, the fireworks went off. And when they were pink, my heart skipped a beat. So it was awesome. So anyway, now I'm excited. Probably my favorite stage is the squishy stage. And I can't wait for her to come. So anyway, you guys, congratulations, and we are excited for you. And just the fact that this is happening. Oh, anyway, welcome to church. We've been talking about faith. And last week, I'm just so glad that people came back this week. I know last week was pretty tough, right? This idea, and I want to be real, and I want to be honest with you, but we talked about this idea that faith can be painful. And there's times you don't always get the results that you want, and that is terrifying. And you know what? It's not measured by the results. It's measured by our obedience, and we need to focus on Him. Why? We talked about it last week. Pain will come, and pain will go, but our God will remain. So when we focus on Him, there is a substance, there is a strength, there is a peace, there is a hope that comes. And you know, faith is not the belief that God will do what you want. Again, remember that. Because sometimes you get, you know, you see these evangelists that are telling you, oh, just come to Jesus. Everything's going to be rosy. Everything will turn out. No, those aren't true. God will step through you in every situation, but sometimes there are valleys. And those valleys are designed even with a purpose. And you may not always get what you want from God, but faith is the belief that God will always do what is right. And as you walk with Him, you start to understand that He is enough. He is enough. He is enough. Well, this morning, I wanted to encourage you. And I was so glad this was actually in my outline. It was this whole idea that I want to share with us and remind us today that our faith is hopeful. Let's say that together. Faith is hopeful. Wow, that was terrible. Last week, second service. I had them. There was no cheer at all at this really amazing moment, and I made them do it again, and then I clipped it out to make it look like they weren't brain dead. Don't tell them I think they're brain dead. You guys are the cool service. Woo! Okay, so let's do that again. Let's say it together. Faith is hopeful. Woo! See. That's the service right there. Whew, faith is hopeful. And you know what? It's kind of interesting. I really wanted to have this idea. And again, when we said last week we weren't sugarcoating anything, I want you to know this week that we're not sugarcoating anything either. That in all of my days when I found Jesus, He's the one who changed everything. Because even in my darkest hour, He was the one that stood by my side. He was the one that gave me strength when my strength was gone. He was the one who brought me healing, even when I didn't know what was broken. And you know, it's amazing to me when we understand this encouraging truth that our faith is hopeful, and it's even in the waiting. How many of you people like waiting out there? Oh, my land. You know what? I was going nuts when we were waiting for firecrackers to go off the other night to tell us, that we were having a baby girl coming on the way. Not we. Victoria's having a baby. Kirtland and Victoria are having a baby. It has nothing to do with me, but I'm excited about this baby, right? So when those fireworks waiting, I was like, come on! Who are we waiting on? Well, Grandma's not here yet. Well, screw Grandma. Let's light them up, right? So waiting is hard. Waiting is hard. If you don't believe that waiting is hard, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go find a child on the street. Okay? Don't be creepy about it. Promise that child. Hopefully you know the child or else it will be creepy. But go find a child and promise them ice cream today, but don't tell them when. Woo! You'll love it, right? What a great little experiment. If you don't think that waiting is hard, you go do that. Let the nightmare begin, right? Because waiting can be gross, and waiting becomes even grosser depending upon who is asking you to wait, okay? So think about this. I had someone in my life when I was younger, and it was kind of interesting. I would always say, can we do this? And the answer was always the same. The answer was, we'll see. We'll see. It was the saddest day when I heard those words, we'll see, because really they might as well just said no, all right? What they wanted me to do is they didn't want me to ask, they didn't want to answer, they didn't want to put any more time into me than they had to. And that experience taught me that when those words came, "We'll see," I didn't need to worry about the promise being fulfilled because there was no promise being made. "We'll see" was no. But then there was moments, depending upon who made that little statement, everything changed. My dad was one of those guys who once in a while he would use that same statement, and I would say, "Hey, Dad, can we go for ice cream?" And he'd say, "We'll see." And I went, "Woo! Ice cream is coming, baby," because he fulfilled his promises. It was amazing to me that proven favorable response. When he said, "We'll see," guess what? My brother and I took it to the bank. It was like gold. Now, we knew that he had to finish work, and he had to finish what he was working on, and there was nights it was long after supper, but then Dad would start up the van, and we'd be like, "Going for ice cream," right? Like, it was just the most amazing thing, because it was the one who made the promise, and it made all the difference. You know, that's the way of the Lord, that sometimes you and I are asked to wait. But you know what? We can still get excited about the answer. Why? Because we can hold on to hope, all because of who is making the promise. You know, maybe you're here today and you'd say, "Wow, I don't know. I have trust issues," right? I understand. I have Jack as a friend. Trust issues. I don't know why I picked on you. You just happen to be sitting there and looking way too happy. Anyway. It's this whole idea of, you know what, if you could only come to a place where you give God a chance, we find out that he's a good father. We find out that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We find out that when he says and makes promises, that those words can be trusted. It's all about who makes the promise that allows waiting to be even bearable. And he's there every step of the way. J.I. Packer is this writer from days gone by, and he challenges me. I like his books. He said this. He said, "Wait on the Lord is a constant refrain in the Psalms, and it is a necessary word, for God often keeps us waiting. He is not in such a hurry as we are, and it is not his way to give more light on the future than we need for action in the present, or to guide us more than one step at a time." Think about that with me. He is not in such a hurry as you are. And it is not his way to give more light on the future than you need for action in the present. You see, faith remains hopeful because we can remain focused. And that's by design. You know, God doesn't want to overwhelm you. And you may say, I gotta know. Lord, are we there yet? Right? Again, go ask a kid if they want some ice cream this afternoon, but don't tell them when. And all of a sudden, we get impatient. All of a sudden, we get filled with anxiety. And all of a sudden, all of that torture of waiting comes down. But you know what? God doesn't want you to get overwhelmed. So let me ask you, are you waiting today? And that's not easy, but I want you to know, and I want you to hear me today, that if you are waiting on something, I want you to know that it's okay. God gives you everything you need for today's obedience. Wrestle that to the ground. God gives you all that you need for today's obedience. You see, if you saw the whole picture, likely you'd be overwhelmed. And then you would waste the rest of your life arguing with God. "Well, God, you know what? I don't know. I don't think that I'm the man or the woman for that particular job. I don't know if you really understand my weakness. Lord, I don't know if maybe you are doing something strange today, but you have way more hope than I have, and you're placing way too much confidence in me, and I think that Tracy is way better suited with the personality to do what you're asking me to do." Okay, well, maybe not Tracy. Okay, so you're busy with Tracy? Well, then give it to Eric, Lord. Because Eric is he's been doing this longer than I've been doing this, Lord. So maybe Eric would be the better choice. And you see, all of a sudden, if we were given the whole picture, the problem that would happen? Let me ask you this. What step does he have before you right now? What step does he have before you right now? I want you to focus on that step and be hopeful. You see, God knows where the steps lead, even when you don't. And the promise is he'll never give you too much. You guys know, I love the NIV. I love the New Living Translation. One of the Bibles that I've discovered in recent years, it was kind of after his death, Eugene Peterson, but it was a paraphrase of the Message. I've been reading it lately. And I like the way he says some things. I have a few favorite verses that were kind of expanded in my mind and in my heart a little bit by the way that Eugene Peterson put them. I want to read one for you today. It's called 1 Corinthians 10:13. You guys will know this, but he says this: no test or temptation has come your way that is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. Beautiful. Beautiful. Do you know that some of the paths that you will be asked to walk in faith lead right through the fire, like we talked about last week? And that hurts. We talked about it last week. But the reality is you have to keep in mind that God is the great cosmic blacksmith, and there is times when you are walking through the fire that he is forming in you exactly what you need. See, because you don't know what is four steps down the road, but he does. And you see, he doesn't share that with you because he knows that that might overwhelm you and you might give up or you might flee the other way. And so what do? You focus on this step. And you focus on him. And you know that no matter what you are going through, that God is your strength in your weakness. And it's by design. It's a beautiful reality. Because let me put it this way. Andrew doesn't know the destination, but Andrew doesn't need to know the destination. My faith focuses on hope and the next step. Why? Because I trust who leads the way. Oh, that we would understand that. You know, when we talked about Bonhoeffer last week, what an incredible saint and died for his faith and left a legacy that has encouraged generations and generations of Christians. Well, because he was on my mind, I was thinking of Corrie Ten Boom. Does anybody know the Ten Boom family? In World War II, what they did is they started hiding Jews from Hitler. And they had Jews hidden in their family home, which was kind of interesting because the law was such that if you were found hiding a Jew, the Jew would be killed and all of your family would be killed as well. And so I was thinking back to that time in history. And every knock at the door, they would be filled with fear and anxiety, wondering if somebody in the community had sold them out, wondering if information had slipped, wondering if somebody had saw something and reported them, and wondering if that knock, was that going to be the last knock that they ever heard? I was reading a little bit of her life. She said this. She said, "When we are powerless to do a thing, it is a great joy that we can come and step inside the ability of Jesus. Never be afraid to trust the unknown future to a known God." Wow. Think about your situation today. When we are powerless to do a thing, it is a great joy that we can come and step inside the ability of Jesus. Never be afraid to trust the unknown future to a known God. You see, our faith is hopeful. Andrew can't, but praise God, Jesus already has. Andrew will stumble, but praise God, Jesus did not. Andrew will fail. Praise God, Jesus has already won. You see, our faith can be hopeful. 1 Peter 1, 3 and following says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled," listen to this, "are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul." Catch the truth there. Our faith is hopeful. Why? Because in the heart of a believer is birthed a living hope, a living hope. It's an inheritance, it says, that can never perish, that we can have inexpressible and glorious joy in every situation, because even when we die, we win. Whew. Those verses, Romans 8, 10, and 11, this is the reason why our hope, our faith is hopeful. It says, "And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, your spirit, the Spirit gave you life. Because you've been made right with God." Now listen to this. "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you." We're a people of hope. You know, sometimes we let our vision get clouded. And we see the valley. We see the pain, we see the challenge, we see the trial, all that's fair. But you know what? In the midst of that, I hope that you take a deep old big breath and that you change your focus and you look at God. Because he is the one who stands in the storm. He is the one who has made the promise that is secure. This idea that we are people of hope, why? Because we can't lose. Last week we talked about it. We read in Hebrews 11 that when faith leads, we can conquer kingdoms. That when faith leads, we can see the mouth of lions shut. That when faith leads, we can escape the sword. When faith is there, we can see the dead rise. Praise God, praise God, praise God. But go even further than that. Even when you are hunted, even if we're called to living in sheepskin and wandering the deserts and living in mountain caves, we can praise God and our faith can be hopeful. Even when we're imprisoned or we meet our end by being sawn in two or being stoned, even then it's okay, praise God, because he holds our eternity. You see, even then, others rejoice. Why? Because we become the ones who are risen. Our faith is hopeful. Like one of my life verses, and this is from the Message too, I love the way it sounds, but Philippians 1:21, right? I love this whole idea. He says, "Alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I'm his bounty. Life, for even more life. I can't lose." Jack and I experienced this at the beginning of the pandemic. We were meeting with some people who were kind of nervous. And we were just talking about life. And they're like, "Are you guys not scared?" We're like, "No." We're like, "What if it kills you?" "Woohoo!" And they're like, "Really? You're really not scared?" And I'm like, "No." And they went, "Wow, we are so glad we're having this conversation, because if it was just with Jack, that would make sense because he's kind of nuts. But with Andrew, really, you guys aren't scared." Alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I'm his bounty. Life versus even more life, I can't lose. I can't lose. And I hope. Why? I hope because of whom gave me the promise. He is trusted. He knows the way. He sees all. 1 Corinthians 15 is real for me. In verse 55 and following, it says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my faith is a journey filled with hope because he's already done what I cannot do. And he promises it to me. Victory, victory, victory. We sang about it. Matt Redman. I love that song. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. But blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. And blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me and the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. But blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. You see, it's not about the circumstances. It's about the song that he sings over us, that every blessing he pours out, we can turn back to praise. That he truly is the potter, and we understand that we are the clay. And even sometimes if the molding hurts, you don't focus on the molding. You focus on the potter, because the potter knows his craft. So we hope, we trust. We just focus on the next step. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, I know now, Lord, why you utter no answer. You are yourself the answer. Before your face, questions fade away. You see, the promises of God are not only incredible, but it's the one who makes the promises. So my faith is hopeful. Everybody bow your heads. Whew. Backing up. Oh, the fan feels good. Close your eyes. Jumpin's Jen. Think about your life. What's the next step that lies before you? What's the next step? You see, you don't need to see the big picture. In fact, the big picture would probably just overwhelm you and discourage you. So that's why God maybe is holding some things back. I want you to focus on right now, in this present, what is the next step before you? Let me tell you, Ron, you don't need to fear the journey because the guide is good. You just need to focus on the next step. Let me tell you, Ruth, you don't need to know the way because the one who leads is the way. Just take the next step. Curtis, you may feel overwhelmed today. It's okay because the one who brought you this far, he's faithful to finish the journey with you if you just take the next step. Larry, he sees what lies before. But he knows the way through. And all you need to do is to focus on the next step. You see, our faith can be hopeful always, always, always. Because it doesn't matter which step you are on. We sang that too. There's Jesus. There's Jesus. He's with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is the way. He knows. He sees the big picture. That even in the flame there is a design and you can be hopeful. Why? Because he understands the finished product. And you could be hopeful. You could be hopeful. Why? Because there's Jesus. There's Jesus. This is what I want to do with every head bowed and just close your eyes. I just really want you to focus. You know, we've been talking about faith, and there's been people listening online, and it's been blowing my mind that I guess it just blows my mind that people are still seeking, and then I see the day in which we're living, and it makes sense to me, but people are looking for real answers right now. Well, Jesus is the answer. Regardless of the question, he's the answer, right? And here's the deal. Even in these days as they're dark and we're stressed, sometimes we feel overwhelmed. I want you to know that's okay. But what I want you to do this morning is to focus on the next step. And then I want you to be hopeful because there is one who made promises to you that can be trusted. Without looking around, I guess I just want to know, is there anybody here who says, you know what, Pastor, I just need prayer today because I'm standing at a crossroad, or I'm standing at a place that I'm scared, or I'm standing at a place where that next step is terrifying. Or, Pastor, I confess that I've been looking at the whole situation, that I don't know the way and panic is setting in, that you know what, that I'm forgetting who leads the way and the circumstances are clouding them out. I'm finding it really, really hard to see Jesus. I want you to know he's still there. Anybody confess that? I want to pray with you today. Just put your hand up real quick. Nobody's looking around. Lots of hands, guys. Lots of hands. Okay, put them down. I want all of us as believers to be agreeing and praying together right now in this moment. Let's pray. Father God, we want to say thank you. That you are the one who has been real with us. That you are the one who told us that hard times were come. You are the one who said that, you know what, they will ridicule us, they will mock us, they will spit in our face. And then in the person of Jesus, you came to show us our response. That you could turn the other cheek. That when they took your shirt, you give them their cloak too. What? You showed us a different way, and we understand it really is the way. Father God, there are so many times, even as believers, where our faith is tested, where trials come, and I understand that there are moments when it feels so hard, but there you are standing beside us, and there you are asking us to focus, not on the entirety, because the journey is way too much for us to understand, not for us to try to imagine the finished product, because we are not nearly as creative as you. What you are asking of us is to focus on the next step and to be hopeful, because your promises, we can take them to bank. Father God, for each one who is here today, who is standing at that crossroad, who is standing at that next step, I pray that you would focus them in and that they would be hopeful. Oh, Father God, would our light so shine before men, they would see the things that we could not do on our own, and they would glorify the Father in heaven. Woo! We don't fear, we're hopeful. Alive, we can be your messenger. Dead, we're your bounty. Life, for even more life, we don't lose. Give us victory. Give us victory. You share it, you offer it. Lord, let us receive your victory today. We pray these things in Jesus' name.